Lord, we worship you. Lord, we ascribe all the glory and the honor to you. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one that is more than enough. How shall I? Thank you, everlasting Father, the one that is faithful and true to your words. You speak and it's done. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hope you know that the year is still very young. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Although it's very old. Amen. By tomorrow we'll be 10 days old. Abi? Aha. So, but I mean, God is good and he's faithful. That's why we gather, we worship him for his faithfulness. Psalm 7, I think 7, 17, or 17, 7, which one? 17, 7 says that we praise him because of his righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. And we thank the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. Do we have any testimonies? Any testimonies? So, in the course of these 10 days, has there been any realization on your path on what God is doing? Amen. Has there been any revelation to you concerning what God is doing in your life? Amen. His Bible is a booster service. Okay, Brother Toby told us the other day that it won't be like a lake that just keep gathering water and keep gathering and you don't give out. So that's why I'm asking you these questions. At the beginning of the year, it was strongly impressed upon my heart that there is nothing that would be absolutely impossible to be done. Okay? That will be nothing that will be absolutely impossible once you put your mind on God. Okay? I know with God, all things are possible. Okay? But for men, we often limit God. All right? So the fact that I got that impression that there will be absolutely nothing impossible is not with God. It's that men will open up their hearts, okay, and allow God move. If you read in the book of Psalms, it's talked about the fact that children of Israel, they limited the Holy One of Israel. I think that's Psalm 71. That the children of Psalm 71, I think that's verse 4. My Bible is not as fast as your PC, so you need to help me. Psalm 78, verse 41 says, yes, again and again they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. So you have to remove the limits. Amen. You have to remove the limits and let God be seen alive. Hallelujah. I don't know who that is for, but remove the limits. How you remove the limits? Number one is you let go and let God. Amen. If you remember the story of Lazarus, I was not going to talk about this before, but if you remember the story of Lazarus, he commanded them to roll the stone away, and then he called forth Lazarus. First of all, the limits were removed. Amen. So, if Christ wanted to call Lazarus out without removing the stone, he would have called him out. Hallelujah. Amen. But that's important. So, whatever limit you have to work on yourself and take God's word as it is. Amen. So remember Psalm 78 verse 41, always, you do not limit the Holy One of Israel. So you don't come back and say, God is not working. It has been proven and tested over and over again. Amen. No Number one, the Bible tells us that he does not lie. He cannot, it's not that he does not lie, actually, is that he cannot lie. Okay? God cannot lie. He doesn't have the capacity to lie. Okay? So there's a difference between having the capacity for something and not doing it. Okay? So if you do not lie, it means that you have the capacity or you have made up your mind and chosen that you are not going to lie. Okay? But God does not have that capacity to lie. Once he speaks, it is done. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so this evening we'll be looking at the consistent walk with God. And we'll be looking at two characters in the Bible, Joseph, Daniel, and Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A consistent walk with Christ. I may never remember the story of Joseph's dream of how he will rise and become the prime. He will be worshipped by the sun and Sun and the moon and the stars, right? You remember that dream? I think that is recorded in Genesis chapter 37. Okay, and it was at a tender age, Genesis 37. Says, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Amen. Then in verse 9 of Genesis 37, he says, then he dreamed. So he had a dream in verse 5. Verse 5 says, now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even the more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood above, and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then in verse 9, he says, then he dreamed yet another dream and told his brothers and said, look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. And then he told to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked it and said, what is this dream that you dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to you, to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Amen. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 2, when the shepherds went to visit Mary, and they told him that this is what the angel said, to you is born to us this day a king, a savior. When they told Mary everything, the Bible records that Joseph and Mary kept the words that they said, and then they took it very seriously. They listened, they just listened, but in their heart, they kept it in their heart. In this story of Joseph dreaming, he said his father, even though he rebuked him, he still kept the matter in his mind. Hallelujah. But you see, the Bible records that at the age of 17, that's when this happened. And along the line, Joseph got himself into trouble, right? And then his brother sold him. They first put him in a pit, and then they sold him into slavery. And then when he got to slavery, he got into more trouble, okay? And then he found himself in prison. And when he was in prison, okay? Now, all these things I'm thinking years. So when he was in prison, he was with the butler and who? The butler and who? No. What's the difference between butler and wine bearer? Thank you. It's the butler and the baker. I heard you, but I was trying to. You must have read a version that said wine bearer instead of butler. So you know who a butler is? You know where he bought lies. That's why you should be reading Bible in your mother tongue. Do you know where he bought lies? If you read the Yoruba Bible, he calls it Agboti Pharaoh. That's what the Yoruba Bible calls it, Agboti Pharaoh. The one that carries is what? It's wine. That's why he was calling him wine. What did he call him? Wine bearer. So he will hold his cup or whatever, anything that they put it in. That's what he would do. I bought the Pharaoh on you, so just carry it. When if Pharaoh wants to drink wine, the man will carry it. That's the responsibility. And then the baker. So he met those two. So that's why it's good for you to read in your mother tongue. So you can be. So when he was telling me wine beer at the other time, I knew in my mind that it cannot be, because I know what a butler is and I know what a wine beer is. And I know that the Yoruba Bible that I first read the story. That's why I first read the story. Actually, I first read the Bible in Yoruba language. So when anything is confusing me, I remember the Yoruba version. I say, I know this is how it says in the Yoruba version. You know this psalm that talks about open your mouth. You know, do you know that psalm? It says, open your mouth and I feel it. I look for it. I know that I've missed it when I say open your mouth, because I know that the Yoruba version says, Lainu Regboro. So when you look at it, you say, which one is remission? That way you look at it, open your mouth wide. That's what the Bible says. Are you see? Aha. But I remember that in the Yoruba version, it says line reguru. So I can't miss it in the Yoruba version, but you can miss it in the English version and say open your mouth. Amen. So when you see the classical choir and the Kenny choir, when they sing, there are two different sets of choristers. The ones that sing like the Udafid choir, when they sing, if they open their mouth, it can't be wider than this. When they sing, it can't be wider than this. That's why you see that they sing like angels when they sing. You see that because they actually practice that this has to be the width of their buccal cavity when they're singing. But the conventional the modern day chorister can use all his energy, all his capacity to sing without any clamping on how wide his vocal cavity can be. So I'm just telling you these things. So it says, open your mouth. You can see that it says, Yainu Regboro, a music. So that's it. So when I look at it, if I speak in English, I'll know that I've missed something out if I go back here. So let's go back to the story of the butler. So when he was in prison, he had a dream. And I think that would be in Genesis 41. He had a dream in prison. The butler and the baker had a dream, okay? And, of course, they were troubled. I don't even know how they got to Joseph. Don't worry, you can spare them the Yoruba version. You can spare them, don't worry. That one is for my closet. So when they had that dream, they found their way to Joseph. How they got their way to Joseph, I'm trying to imagine. So it says that then the butler and the baker, who were confined in prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night. And each one did with his own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So it was their countenance that he saw. And then he asked them a question. Okay? And then they said they had a dream. Hallelujah. And when I was checking, between the time Joseph had that 17 years of age that he was and the time that he became prime minister, he was about 22 years. Okay? So meaning that at the age of 17, so let us assume that this one happened probably a year or two before, because you know they forgot him in prison. It was not immediately after this encounter that he became prime minister. That the who survived? The butler or the baker? Who survived? The Abbotty or the baker? Who survived? Who survived? The butler. Exactly. So, and then because if you look at the dream, okay, one was that it would be restored. Another was that it would be beheaded. So it was the butler that would be restored, and then the baker would be beheaded, okay? And when Joseph would speak to the butler, he said, don't forget me, put in a kind word for me when you get before the king, okay? And of course, when the guy got freedom, it was fine. He absolutely forgot about Joseph, okay? But then I wouldn't also blame him, okay? Because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God, okay? So everything we do is orchestrated by God. But the deal was, don't forget me, okay? If not for the words of the butler, I would have said probably he didn't forget him. But the butler actually also said, I think in chapter 41, I think it's chapter 41 that the butler mentioned that, let's go to chapter 41, that he mentioned that he has done something bad, that, so let's read from verse 1. He says, then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, okay? So that means that the butler forgot that guy for 2 full years, okay? So, technically I was right. So at the age of 20, after 20 years, okay? After 20 years of having that first dream, that's when his encounter with the butler and the baker, okay? And then, so the guy forgot him for 2 years, practically 2 years. And then the Bible says that it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly, blah, 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 let me see. Let's go to verse 9. It says, so then it says, then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with the servants and put me in custody at the house of captain of guards, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night, and he and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. And now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of guards, and we told him and he interpreted our dreams to us. So each man interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted, so it happened, he restored me to my office and he hanged him. And then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him out quickly from the dungeon. They shaved him, changed his clothing, and he came to Pharaoh. So if not for the fact that the butler said, I remember my fault, okay? I don't think he would have just gone into Pharaoh ordinarily. I said, Aga, there's one boy in prison. I need you to help me release the guy. Or we put a kind word for him that he helped me out. He's there for no just cause. I'm not sure he'll be that bold, but he actually admitted that he's at fault. Okay? Yeah. But when the opportunity presented itself, he spoke. Amen. Hallelujah. When the opportunity presented itself, he spoke. Okay, so he had not been looking for opportunity. He had not gone out of his way to look for an opportunity for Joseph to be out of prison. But when the opportunity presented itself, he spoke. And then Joseph interpreted the dream. And then he became prime minister after the interpretation of the dream. Okay, in the book of Daniel. So what I was going to say here was that it took between the first dream of the sheep and the moon, the sun, and the 11 stars, and him becoming prime minister, it took 22 years. But all those 22 years, Joseph was consistent with his work with God. What he was known for when he was 17 years old, the same thing that he was known for when he was 39 years old. 17 plus 22, that's 29. Hallelujah. It was consistent. Amen. It's not that today they will go to you and say, I've dropped that thing. I'm not into that kind of parole anymore. You know, that's how we say that I've moved. We move. Hallelujah. In the things of God, you continue to move in the spirit. Hallelujah. You do not leave it for another thing. Amen. So that Joseph did that, showed that consistency, understanding the God that he served. So that's why, and that's why he even ended up, number one, that's why he ended up in prison. Okay? If not for the fact that he was preserving his relationship with God. Amen. He wouldn't have ended up in prison. Abi? Do you agree with me? So when Potiphar's wife, Abi? It was Potiphar's wife. When Potiphar's wife was trying to entice him, if he had given in, okay, then there would have been a problem. Hallelujah. The problem would not have been immediate, but it will also be immediate in the spirit. Because if he had given in, spiritually, there would have been a demarcation between him and God. He would not have seen a physical repercussion, but there would have been a spiritual repercussion. Just the way that Adam fell, okay? Adam and Eve, the way they fell in the garden, Adam and the woman, okay? So they fell immediately that they disobeyed God. It was a spiritual separation from God. And then he said he died. Hallelujah, but he was still living. He was still alive. He was still existing, but spiritually, he was dead. He was cut off from his root. Okay, so if Joseph had given in to Potiphar's wife, he would have been spiritually cut off from God. There would not have been anything. We won't be talking about this story today, the way we are talking about it. And we wouldn't have been like, oh, there is a reward for consistency in God if you continue in the things that God has asked you to do. Okay, and the times are difficult. Things are changing. Okay, times are difficult. There's a lot of pressure. But how well does your center hold? The Bible says that, I think in Job chapter 10, verse 11, it says, he has knit me together with bones and sinews. So when I say, how well does your center hold? That's your core, the core of your being, your spirit man. How well does it hold in the face of pressure? Okay, how consistent will you be with your confession when there is no pressure? Hallelujah. You know that. So let me just use football is, nobody will feel offended if I use football anyway. So because if I use a female interpretation, they will get angry. If I use a man, they will get angry. But let's use football. Anybody gets angry, they will go and meet Bet Naija or Sporty Bet. That's their problem. So if, for instance, hallelujah. So what was I saying before? No, that's not what I said before. Exactly. So example of what? Oh, I forgot what I wanted to tell you. I was going to make comparison between two football. Oh, yes. So if you are supporting a particular football club, okay, and they are not performing, year one, year two, year three, year four, they are not performing. Eh? Some people will say, I'm going to Mrs. D's club, and then they go to Mrs. D's club because Mrs. D won the league last year. They will not come to our club, and then Mrs. D starts to click the year. She looks promising along the line. She begins to do. Then the club they left before starts rising. I say, this one, let me go back. I've always been, they will not say, I've always been a loyal fan of this club. Now, if things happen again to that club, they move. Amen. You know, that's why everybody loves Arsenal fans. Even women love Arsenal fans. They will tell you that you cannot find fans as faithful as Arsenal fans. Hallelujah. Because when their club is down, whether it's down or it's up, they will tell you that this is the best. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people say they never walk alone. But when the chips are down, you say, Amen. And some people say that they have built a bridge. And then all of a sudden, they tell you that London Bridge is falling down. You say, where is London Bridge? No, so, I'm just telling you that consistency, everybody cherishes that consistency. Okay? Now, for the people that support all those clubs, in case you don't know, the ones that support with money, is your money that the club uses and makes a lot of money from, okay? Apart from the fact that they get sponsorship, the more their fan base. So all of you that are just fans by mouth, you are nothing to them. There are people that actually pay yearly subscription, are people that go to the stadium buy to watch a match, they buy ticket £25. How much is £25 now? £50 is about 100,000. Then £25 will be about 50,000. So imagine that we want to go to Nikon, we want to go and watch football. I say, Kenny, let's go. And then we get there, we pay 50,000. Will you not call me and say, come, Mr. Pastor? Pastor. Okay, so, I mean, so the things, so if you are a fan of something, you're not limited by the things you will do, okay, because you are sold out in passion. Your consistent work with God is very critical. If Joseph had looked at all the pitfalls along the line, he could have gone back and said, oh, no, I'm not going to be this faithful. Okay? But you see, when the opportunity came and they came out to call him, he didn't get angry with the people that came to call him. He even dressed up, knowing fully well that he was going before the king. Deep down inside him, he would have known that this is the day of liberation. Because what he told the guy was that when you get there, put a good word for me. And so for the king to have called him, he looked like this is an opportunity. The Bible records that he shaved and he dressed properly. He didn't do anyhow, and he went before the king. And when he would speak to the king, when the king had told him all the... In verse 16, Genesis 41, verse 16, he says, after Pharaoh had told him all the, before Pharaoh told him, he says, Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Amen. That's someone that has been wrongly imprisoned for adhering to the truth, holding on to God, okay? He had been wrongly imprisoned. And then when the opportunity came, and Pharaoh said, I understand that they say that you can interpret dreams. He quickly corrected him and said, it is not about me. He says that, go to verse 15 so that we can see what happened. He says, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. And then Joseph replied and said, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Amen. Hallelujah. He said God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And if you look at the answer that God gave Pharaoh, okay, it was truly an answer of peace. He said there will be 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of famine. Everybody should say, why would you say 7 years of famine is an answer of peace? Okay? Because God did not leave them without a solution for the 7 years of famine. Amen. So oftentimes we miss it. We ask that, I mean, everything should just be all so good. Hallelujah. That no problem. You just walk. You don't want anything to disturb your peace, nothing to ruffle you. Hallelujah. But he's saying that God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And truly, he gave him an answer of peace. He said there will be 7 years of famine, and then 7 years, 7 years of plenty, and then the 7 years of famine will come and swallow up those 7 years of plenty. And what does that mean? So what's going to be the solution? People, there will be famine. And then, of course, God spoke through the mouth of Joseph again and said, all you need to do is do what? Put 20% of your harvest away for those 7 years consistently. So anytime there was harvest time, okay, 20% will be taken to the store barn, 20% will be taken to for 7 good years. And it was on those 20% that they fed for the remaining 7 years. And you know what? The Egyptians also fed the people around them. Amen. And that's what brought back the people, Joseph's family, to Joseph in Egypt. So 20%, they were saving. Hallelujah. Amen. If you like, you can cultivate an habit of saving. But don't say, I tell you to save. Hallelujah. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Never forget that. Amen. So consistently, throughout all those years, Joseph remained loyal to God. He did not shift to the right, and he didn't query God. So he was in prison. He had every reason to be sad. The butler and the baker were in prison. They only had a dream one night, and they were sad. Hallelujah. in Daniel chapter 5. First of all, let's go to Daniel chapter 2. From verse 1. It says, now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. So Daniel chapter 2 is about Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? He said in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Okay? And then he gave command that all the wise men should be killed and all that. And then I think it's in verse 11 or so. Verse 14. Okay, from verse 12, then we'll get to verse 14. So he asked for all his wise men, okay, to come and interpret, and nobody could interpret the dream. The Bible says, for this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. So it wasn't, they started killing already. So the good thing was that all the wise men were not in one place. That's why. Okay, let's leave that one. All the wise men were not in one place. That's why when everybody's doing Owambe and they're doing Ashebi, I'll just be laughing that the people are looking for trouble. So if you are doing Owambe, we have Ashebi, everybody will know that. You are coming from Kenny's party. Or you are coming from that direction. So if they think that all of you are big boys and they needed to round you up, they'll round you up. Abi? By virtue of the fact that you are wearing Ashebi. Abi? Uh-huh. So it says, and then they were to kill the wise men of Babylon. The next verse. Then, I've missed one verse. 14. Okay. So verse 15. No, 14. I've not read 14. It says, then, with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. Okay, so he summoned courage to talk to the guy and said, look, what's happening? He answered and said to Arioch, the king, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. Okay, so Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Okay, so that was an encounter of Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 5. Now, the Bible says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of 1,000. While he tasted wine, he gave a command to bring gold and silver, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple. That means that this king, Belshazzar is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. So the Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2, okay, gave birth to this guy, Belshazzar, okay? And it says that the king and his lords and his wife, everything they drank from them. And then they brought the vessels, blah, blah, blah. Please go to continue. I'll tell you where I'm going. Next one. Go back to 4. Okay, good. Then 5. Say in the same hour, so when they were doing all the drinking and all the merry, it says in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So just like as we are talking now, and Kenny is seeing, it's only Kenny that was seeing a hand that is writing, hallelujah, on the wall. Just the part of the hand that writes. So just you can see a finger that is writing. You almost jump out of your skin. It says that then the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. Can you see? That's why the Bible says that a merry soul, it works like medicine. See, his countenance changed and his thoughts were troubling him. He says so that his, the joints of his hip, they were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other. That's what he thought, and the unsettled nature of his heart did to his body. He took away his joint, the hip joint, and then his knees were knocking together. Okay? So I'm just telling you, so when they tell you that a merry soul walks like medicine, that's what it means. And then he says, a broken spirit who can bear. So his spirit was broken, and then his body was disintegrating. Hallelujah. And then he says here, next verse, he says, the king cried to the astrologers and the soothsayers, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me his interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and it shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Okay? Now all the kings of the kingdom came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king his interpretation. The next thing. Then the king Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O kingly forever, do not let your thoughts trouble you. Let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the Holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpretation of dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. And then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke to him and said, are you the Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I've heard you, that the spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. It says, all these people, they could not interpret. Let's go to the next verse. And I've heard that you can give interpretations. Now, if you can read the writing and make known his interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple, blah, 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 and then you'll be made the third ruler in the kingdom. And then Daniel answered, this is where I'm going. And then he said, before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. So Daniel was not going to be swayed by all the, you know, he said he was going to be made royalty. He was not treated, okay? He said, look, keep your gifts to yourself. But even though I'm telling you to keep your gift to yourself, I'm going to interpret this thing to you. But you know the beauty of this story, that between Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, they were 43 years. No, it's Belshazzar. Go to Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. It's my teeth. Belshazzar. It's Daniel that is Belshazzar. So Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Between the two of them, there are 43 good years. Meaning that Daniel was that consistent, okay? Even before his encounter with Nebuchadnezzar, he had been consistent with God, okay? Now, he met Nebuchadnezzar and the things that he was known for, okay? For 43 good years, he was still consistent in them. And so when Belshazzar would call him and said, you are the one that you are full of light and understanding, you interpret this thing, he was not catching him unawares. And that's why I could say, you know, don't worry about whatever you want to give to me, because I know the God I serve. Hallelujah. Yeah. And it's in the book of Daniel that we read that those that know their God, they will be strong and they will do great exploits. Hallelujah. That's consistency. Amen. For 3 good years, he was known to be working with God and be God's oracle, the mouthpiece of God. And then, between one generation to another, he was still existing. And he was still doing the things that he was known for with respect to God. And that's why, I think I remember who was saying it, that we are answers to the questions around us. So there cannot be questions around you, and then you're not producing answers. Because if you see the spirit that you carry can never be devoid of answer. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in, I think Daniel Yeah, Daniel 11. Then Daniel 5, 11. It says, there's a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods were found in him. It says, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And it was, he didn't disappoint. Hallelujah. Forget the story about the lion and the den. Okay, that's gone. This is 43 years after that. 43 years after Nebuchadnezzar died. Okay? 43 years after Nebuchadnezzar had that dream that this was happening. And he was still the same one that they could say the spirit of the holy God is on his inside. He will tell you the mind of God. Hallelujah. Amen. How much more the new generation being? Amen. It says, the Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. And what I'm saying to you is that there should be that consistency. Hallelujah. Amen. Kenegegin was said to have been sick at the age of 16. And yet he died, in his 80s or 90s. Okay? And for over 70 good years, 70 years, he was consistent with the propagation of the gospel. And he made the Bible look like it was only Mark 11, 22, 23, but he made it beyond that. Hallelujah. Amen. There's this foundation, and he built on it for 70 good years. You can't be a Christian today, and then tomorrow you are wavering. Hallelujah. Or you depart totally, and then you are coming back. You have to remain consistent, because when those questions will come, you do not know the time, and they are... Those questions will come. But never forget that there will be people around you that will be looking at you and saying that, let's go to him. He has the light of God on his inside. Hallelujah. Oh, I've known him for so many years. He's always in church. He's always speaking God's word. He will have a word from God. And then they come to you and say, Abba, forget. Deity, don't come out. That's not going to be your portion. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to remain consistent. And the only consistency, and that's why I'm saying that, look, all these years, it's not that they didn't face problems. Joseph faced his problems. Daniel faced his problem. But they still remained faithful to God. And they kept that consistency with God. When Christ was at the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter... John chapter 11. And verse 41. It says, then they took the stone away. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said it that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud cry, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. He just said to them, loose him and let him go. Amen. What I want to take away is that he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. Hallelujah. So even though he was praying at that point in time, okay, he said, what I'm doing is so that these people may know. He could have done everything he did without anybody knowing. Hallelujah. That's why I said he didn't have to tell them to roll away the stone. But people around won't understand if they suddenly see Lazarus outside the tomb, standing, and all his, all the grave clothes taken away. Okay, it had to be them. Roll the stone, perceive the odor of cups of 4 days, and then when they will see him actually come out, it's so that they will have an understanding that there's a living God. It was not about Christ. Christ showed his consistency with God, saying, Father, I know that you hear me, and you always hear me. Hallelujah. Amen. And these things I'm doing so that these ones will know that you have sent me. Amen. It is to the glory of God when you are sent on an errand. When God sends you a message or gives you a message that makes you a carrier of a message. And everybody is a carrier of a message. Hallelujah. And once God sends you with that message, it is to God's glory that you deliver that message undiluted. Amen. It's not about man, and it's not about you. It's about God. I think we read on Sunday, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that the life that we live is no longer ours. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think verse 16, 17. It says, therefore now, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away, all things are become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I think we have missed it too. Go to verse 14. Verse 15. Yeah. So he says, go to 14. He says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. So once that happens, amen, we don't live any longer for ourselves. So if you align with the stories of Daniel and align with the story of Joseph, you see that they were carrying out God's will, and irrespective of what was around them, the decree was passed. Daniel said, no, forget about the decree. I'm going to open my windows and so that people will know that I am not deterred by the king's instruction. Hallelujah. I wonder how many people will do that in this age and time. Amen. He said, I'm not deterred. And when he was taken, he was not going to fight it. Hallelujah. But then, God was waiting. The angels were waiting. And my people said that I fomore. Aki fomore bore. So they threw Daniel into the lion's den. And he's of the tribe of the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. That's the simple meaning of what I said now. So you expect the lion to consume one of his own tribe. Hallelujah. Amen. It won't happen. Just like when Christ was saying that a kingdom that is against itself cannot stand. So if you say that I am of the devil, why would I be casting out the devil? Rather, I will be supporting it. Amen. Yet your message is from God, and you need to deliver it, and you be consistent from now till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. May we rise on our feet. Let us thank God and give you praise. Thank him that he's the only sure deal. Hallelujah. God is the only sure deal. And that we are ready to keep our walk consistent with him. Proverbs 4, verse 18. Proverbs 4, verse 18. It says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. Amen. So as you continue on this journey, just know that for every step you take, it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Be consistent in that walk till the day, the perfect day. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you and magnify your name. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.